here. We don't have to do anything to allow God to minister to us. He's just here and he wants to do that. It's important to remember that God loves us no matter what. We say this quite a lot. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you think. God loves you. Sometimes we have to rearrange our own spiritual life, our own thinking, to align with his thinking, to allow him to break in and bring what he has got for us into our lives. I want to talk this morning a little bit about peace. You know, it's one of the words we use at Christmas, isn't it? Peace, love, joy, peace. And it's important that we understand our peace with God, how it works and what it brings to our heart. So I want to talk a little bit around that, about our relationship with God and about how we are accepted, even though sometimes we feel unworthy and we feel that we're not in a place to be loved by God. He still loves us and he wants to do something with us. So I want to talk about our relationship with God. And it's interesting that Kian, our little Kian, has he gone? Oh, good. I'm going to talk about him. Our little Kian, those of you that have come across Kian will know that he's interrogator extraordinaire. He'll ask you questions that you don't want him to ask. And he'll get right into your ribs. It's just the way he's built. And it can be quite challenging at times. So Linda was saying in the car the other day, they were talking, because love is really important to him, because he sometimes doesn't feel loved, and so he wants to know that he's loved. And so the conversation with Linda was with Linda, because we keep saying we love you, and he said to her, do you love everybody? She said, yeah. So he thought about that for a moment or two, and they said, do you even love robbers? Now, he's got a thing about robbers. We have to shut his window every night so the robbers can't get in. So we said, do you love robbers? And she said, yeah, I think so. We don't like what they do, but we love robbers. And so I want to talk about how God loves us, that relationship we have with him, and how we work that relationship out with one another. It's really important that we recognize that God places a responsibility or a call on our lives, not just to love him, but to love others. And we'll talk about that in a little while. The human condition, I don't know whether you've ever examined the human condition, but we're in a bit of a mess, aren't we? The human condition leads to all kinds of behaviours. And it's interesting when we look at how we ended up like this, from where we started from originally. So we at the moment are separated from the completeness of our relationship with God. We're born into a state where our spiritual life is dead, our spirit is dead, and we can't communicate with God and he can't communicate with us. That's why it's important that we understand that being born again is opening that door, that spiritual door where he brings us alive and he begins to live in our hearts again. But we were created in God's image originally to share our hearts with God, somewhere where he could live within us, so that we could have an open and fulfilled relationship with God, and he could be the supplier of all our needs. And it's amazing when you read in Genesis the creation of the world, however that happened. But Adam and Eve were in this place where God gave them everything they needed. They didn't need for anything. And if it's quite difficult for us to understand what that would mean, because we've never lived in that place. But he would have supplied all their internal needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs. He would have supplied all their physical needs. They lived in this place where they didn't have to worry about tomorrow, because they knew God would supply all their needs. They had no fear. They didn't live in any condemnation. They lived in this place where they were created to share who God was. And then we had the fall. We call it the fall. Adam and Eve fell from grace. They sinned. And that separates us from God. And if God isn't living in us, then we are open to the influence and the power of sin to shape our behaviours and our relationships. We're driven by something different than who God is. And we look around the world today and we can see that it is being driven by something that is more powerful than what we as humanity can handle. We're driven into places where we go, why would anybody do that? But they do. Because the power of sin is greater than what we can actually handle, which is why Jesus came. The peace that Adam and Eve had was replaced by fear and shame. And Adam's first encounter after he had fallen was he feared God. He knew that he was naked and he feared God. And God said to him, how do you know? Because he'd taken from the tree, fruit of the tree of knowledge. He was afraid of God. And we can live our lives afraid of God because that is the power of sin in our lives. But Jesus came to redeem us so that we don't need to live in the fear of who God is or what he's going to do with us. He blamed Eve. And very often in our circumstances, we can blame other people for some of the things that we have done. It's our human condition. And man's relationship at that point was broken and we died spiritually. So Adam and Eve lived physically, but spiritually they were dead. They had removed God from their heart, and no longer was God able to live in their hearts and be the center of everything that they did. God could no longer give them what they needed emotionally and spiritually. And if you read the story, life became hard for Adam and Eve after the fall. So as a result of that, whether we like it or not, we are born into this realm of sin. And it's quite hard for people to understand that. But I would say we are born into this place where we don't have a relationship with God and where the power or the influence of sin is so great that it affects the way we behave. We become self-focused. We become separated from those around us. And we are constantly trying to meet all our internal and external needs. We try and do it ourselves. I don't know whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, but I am. I like to do things myself. If somebody says, can I help you? You go, no. I get into a lot of trouble with this. I go, no, I'll just do it myself. I don't need any help, thank you. But when we come to our relationship with God, we've got to go, yeah, I do. I need all the help that you can give to me because I need to be completed by you. We easily fall out with those around us. This is the human condition. We distrust people. We tell lies. We gossip. We blame others. And we take offense with those who we rub against. They say something and we immediately go on the defensive and we take offense. We examine the speck in somebody else's eye and not the plank in our own eye. I don't know where you are in your understanding of that, but it's so easy to blame other people, to criticize others without looking at really what's going on in our own hearts. Our separation from God has had a massive impact on the whole of mankind. And as we look at the history of the world, there is plenty of evidence to demonstrate that we need something to help us, which is why Jesus came. We celebrate his birth at Christmas, and we must recognize that the birth of Christ created a pathway for this separation that we are living in to be fixed and to bring peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with those who we share life with. Jesus came to offer us salvation from our position of domination by sin to living in the freedom of God from the power of sin. So when we become believers, when we allow God to be part of who we are, when we are born again, we begin to live in the freedom that God always intended us to live in. the things that really grip our lives, we are set free from. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come just so we worshipped him. He came so that we can experience life, full life, shaken together and overflowing as we live in the freedom of all God wants for us. Our salvation is so much more than just an eternal view of our life on earth. So much more than just the promise of heaven. His salvation is for now and for eternity. God wants us to be completed in him. He wants to bring the fullness of who he is into our life on earth, not just when we get to heaven. He wants to invade our hearts just as he did with Adam and Eve. And he wants to live in us and provide all our need. He wants to repair and rebuild our human condition from the inside, making us a new creation. It tells us in the Word, doesn't it, that we are a new creation. Old things, our human condition has passed away. God is creating something new in us day by day, year by year. He's doing something new in us. He's making us a new creation. He's forming us into what he really wants us to be. What an awesome promise that is through the gift of his Son that brings all this to us. One of the scriptures that we focus on and have done for many, many years is Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourselves." The two commands that Jesus gave to his followers gave us direction in the way that we should live life. This is the word of God, which doesn't change. So if it was good for them 2,000 years ago, it's still good for us today. These words of God that he spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ, to love me and love others. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love him with everything that you are and everything that you have. We've got a saying, haven't we? Don't do things half-heartedly. Because there are times when we do things half-heartedly and it results in nothing really. I can remember many years ago, as you can imagine, I was used to play rugby at school and I used to be on the wing. Well, if you ever watch a rugby match, the winger never gets the ball. It always gets dropped before it gets, particularly in boys rugby. But I used to play in the winter and my hands used to be cold and I didn't really want to be there. It was horrible. Can you imagine trying to catch a ball and your hands are cold and it's stinging? And I was a bit half-hearted about it. I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't want to be there. And we can be half-hearted about our relationship with God. And somehow we've got to get into that place where we love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Because when we've got that kind of relationship, God can really begin to work in us. We often say, put your whole heart into it. Because if we don't, we recognize that we're not going to achieve much in life if we're half-hearted about things. So in our relationship with God, he wants us to be wholehearted. He wants us to love him with everything that we have. If we're not wholehearted in our love for God, we diminish what he's able to do in us. And sometimes God never leaves us. We say that, don't we? God never leaves us. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will always love me no matter what. We know all those things. But sometimes we don't feel them or we don't experience them because we're not putting our heart into it. And God wants to give us everything for life and for godliness. He wants to impart new things into our heart. But if we don't love him with everything, then it limits his access into our heart. It's like he talks about a door in Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And sometimes that door that he wants to open, we are holding shut. And it restricts the access that we're giving to him. If we love God with everything, we've got an open door. Whatever God. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to achieve, however you want to change me, however you want to challenge me or encourage me, the door is open. And that's how God wants us to live our Christian heart. Although this is a commandment that Jesus is giving instruction on, what it will take to keep relationship with God and live a full Christian life, it's a commandment. But it's not a commandment that it's a heavy commandment. It's that if you love God with everything, then God can do these things in your heart and in your life. When we have this openness of relationship with him, I believe that Holy Spirit fills our heart with everything that God has got for us. We get an overwhelming sense of his presence and his purpose, and we are secure in our relationship with him. We are asked to receive God's love and love him back. We all want to be loved. It's great when you know somebody loves you, but what God is saying is, I want you to love me back. A willing obedience to God's love. The second part of the scripture is the big challenge. We can love God because he's perfect. We can love God because we know we're loved by him. We can love God because we know he wants to work in our heart and in our lives. So loving God really should be relatively easy. But loving our neighbour as ourselves is a real challenge, isn't it? As we look around the room, we're not all the same. We think differently. Our behaviours are different. People can rub us up the wrong way. People can irritate us. Do you ever get irritated by people? No. We need a confession on the front row here. We do, don't we? We get irritated by other people. We get upset by other people. And we go, I know God loves you, but I'm really struggling here. And we, you know, some people are like that. I probably am. And those of you that know me will know I can be as difficult as anybody, really. Yeah, I can be difficult. So it's hard to love our neighbour. It's hard to do that. And sometimes we go, well, who's our neighbour? Well, Jesus said, well, really, anybody's our neighbour. Those around us. The story of the Good Samaritan, as we call it, when there was a cultural difference between Jews and Samaritans. And yet for that moment, the Samaritan loved the Jew. He put aside his cultural difference, his preconceived ideas about what Jews were, and he laid down his money, he laid down his time to help this poor man who had been robbed on the road. Really, it's anybody who we come across is our neighbour. Anybody that's different than we are. Linda in? No, she's not. No. Linda always says I'm a bit different. I'm different. I don't know what that means. I'm different. I think differently than her. I behave differently than her. I am different than her and probably a lot different than some of you. But she still loves me, and that's always something that really supports me, really helps me in life to know that I'm different, but she loves me. And our natural human condition often drives a wedge between us when these differences surface, because we tend to put our own interests, our own understanding, our own values and beliefs before other people's. And so if people aren't the same as us, if they're different than us, sometimes it's hard to love them. But it's a commandment, isn't it? We've got to love our neighbour. See, when we're in relationship with God and we love him wholeheartedly, if we get that bit right, if we begin to understand our relationship with God, if we begin to put him first in everything we do. So when it says we love God with everything, that's not just our emotions. That's our behaviour, the words that we choose to use, our attitude, the way that we live, the value we place on the things that we own and the money that we have. When we put God first, when we love him, that is all part of that equation of beginning to put God above ourselves and to begin to love him with everything that we are and everything that we have. And we need God's help to do that, because sometimes we want to keep hold of the things that we value. And sometimes the things that we keep hold of are not the things that are positive in our lives, and God wants to kind of loosen them from our grip. That's why when we love him, we will allow him to do those things in our heart and in our lives. But when we love God and his love fills our heart, we can begin to love those around us. Some people who we believe are impossible to love, we begin to love. See, the Bible is very harsh at times. There's no wiggle room on this. There's no, if you don't like them, you don't need to love them. If they don't think like you, you don't need to love them. It says love everybody. Love your neighbor, love everybody as yourself. So here's some scriptures that I just want to read. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. No wiggle room there. Love one another. Romans 13. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And Romans 15. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. So when we love other people, it's not about feeling good inside. It's about doing them good. We do good to others. But before we can do that, because there are some difficult people, there really are. But if we love God, he enables us to love those around us. As a church, we are to love one another. If we truly understand what this means, it is transformational in the way that we live with each other. Often we love our friends and our family, the nice people around us, because it's easy. We know them. We love them. But when it's our Christian neighbour, we can judge more harshly, because we go, they should know better than that. Have you heard what they said? Did you see what they did? They should know better. So we're judging, and we're not to judge anybody. But our Christian neighbours, each other, it's so easy to judge, because we think we all know better than behaving as we do sometimes. But we still got to love each other. I love the fact, I love church. People often say, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Well, the answer is no. But if you want to be an effective Christian, if you want to be part of what God is building, then yes, you do need to be part of a church. And I love the fact that church, we have a diversity of backgrounds, a diversity of cultures, because very often that challenges our thinking. When people behave differently and see things differently, it is a real challenge to us. We live in the freedom of what Christ has won for us, and he works to transform who we are. Part of church life is coming together as a group of people and allowing ourselves to be ourselves. And part of the process of change is actually we bring that to one another. You know, your experience in life, your spiritual gifting can be shared with those around, and it helps them to grow. It helps them to deal with circumstances. It helps them through difficulties. It helps them in joyous times. But when we are together loving one another, it is the most powerful statement that we could ever have to this world, because this world does not understand true love. We're to engage with one another and cause growth as we live together. Last year we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that we give away to others. So in our connection with God, when we love God with our heart, our mind, and everything that we are, God begins to grow things in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit that we give to one another. And it actually causes growth amongst the body because we have that connection with each other. So church is really important. And living together in love is really important. Being yourself is really important. You know, people often come to church and think they're not good enough. They look around and think we're all sorted, that we've all got life worked out, that butter wouldn't melt in our mouth, all that kind of thing. And so people feel inadequate, they feel unworthy of coming to church because of their own perception of who they are. And so often we'll try and hide that. We try and cover it up. We try and live a life that we think is managing to cover all our weaknesses. But there comes moments when we are exposed, moments of pressure. It says in James 5, and I'm taking this slightly out of context, but I think the principle is right. You can talk to Jed afterwards and he'll tell me whether I was right or wrong. It says in James, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now it's talking in James about physical healing. But I think there's a deeper or a different element to this, because when we rub shoulders, when we are exposed and we begin to confess our faults, he talks about sins there. But I think, you know, sometimes we go, how are you doing? I'm doing all right. That's usually the end of the conversation. But when we're in good relationship with each other, we go, well, yeah, but I've had a really bad week. I've had some really bad thoughts about the pastor. Can you help me? And as long as you've not had the same thoughts about the pastor, then we can help. We can go, well, this is how you should deal with that. This is how we deal with that. And so as we rub shoulders and we are exposed, the real us comes out. As we talk to those around us, it just helps us to deal with that situation and be honest about our weaknesses so that our church family can support us and help us deal with the things that are going on in our lives. It's so hard to be honest about our weaknesses. It really is. Nobody likes exposing themselves in that way. It feels like you are putting others above yourself. It feels not very pleasant. But when you know you're loved, when you know you're in a secure relationship, when you know that nobody's going to criticize or judge you, then it makes it a little bit easier to be honest about who you are. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and therefore we should have no condemnation for those around us. And in that moment, what seems impossible, because some of the things we carry around are our core values, they are the real us, and we go, I don't know how this can be changed. I don't know how I can change. Well, the answer is that you can't, which is why Jesus was sent to us, so that he could make a way. And it is he who changes us. But we've got to have that open door of our heart to allow him to change us, to deal with the really, really difficult stuff that we all carry in our hearts. When we're confident in our relationship with God, we love him for who he is, and we are at peace with him. It's so good to know that you're at peace with God. So good to know that you can stand before him and just be yourself and you are loved. It brings a real strength in life. It brings a real depth to the way that we live. It is a solid foundation for all that God wants to do with us, this peace that we have with him. Talks about the peace of God, which passes understanding. We can go through circumstances and we go, I'm at peace here. I don't know why. Well, it's God, because we know God as God is. We know God cares about us, and it brings a real peace in every area of life. Loving ourselves can be difficult because we know ourselves very intimately. You know all the bad stuff about you. Not everybody else will, but your mind will be drawn to that. That is one of the things the enemy does. He'll take you to those places where you think, how can anybody love me? And how can I love myself because of what I've done? But when we love God, when we've had his forgiveness in our hearts, we can love ourselves because God is living in us and we are at peace with him. We are living, in God's grace. And then we love others. We move away from being self-focused to putting others first. Whenever we see a weakness exposed, we encourage and add our faith to the situation. We don't judge, we don't condemn, but we love others. And we don't take offence. When we know we're right with God and we have that peace of God in our hearts, it almost doesn't matter what people do or say about us. We don't need to take offence because our confidence, our value is in him, not in what others think or others say. So this gift of the Son of God we celebrate at Christmas time is to bring peace between us, I suppose humanity, in its greater sense, and God, so that we can live differently and we allow him to change us and complete us. I've written here, probably the best gift in the world. But we've got to access that. We've got to allow him to be God in our lives. We've got to, if we don't feel that we're loving him, then put things in place that allow him to grow in us, that allow him access to every area of our lives so he can complete us. And the best gift in the world can begin to work in our hearts. Remember the peace of God this Christmas time. Remember that it's peace with him, peace with ourselves, and peace with those around us. Amen. Thank you for listening.